views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
AM, the Internet, and beyond. Keeping you informed every step of the way. Don't be left behind. You are listening to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show.
July 1st, 2014, number 86. Since being in the YNTS studio, currently airing on It's Your Radio, Route 1 Radio, Best Out the Dark, Transformation Talk Radio, WBOQ AM 1230, and audio graded. To listen to us on replay, thank you, W4CY Radio, K4HD Radio, and 24/7 on iHeart Radio. More information, www.YoAndrewNTS.com. Call me toll free, 855-712-YNTS, 855-712-9687. Stop being so shy. I'm not. That's why I'm behind the microphone. At Andrew Tree Geo on Twitter. Email me, YoAndrew. Yeah. Can you hear me now? Good. Email me, YoAndrew@YoAndrewNTS.com. I missed the cutoff. Oops. I always wonder how those music DJs do it. They're like, call us now, bop, 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 and the song plays. And you just sit there and you just stay. How do they do that? Me? I miss the cutoff every time. Let's practice together. Besides that, Howard Forrest, my phone screener, Mary Clinton, Skalke, my producer, Moon Summer, voiceover personality, my father spectating, as always, Teddy Giordano, and I'm your host, Yo Andrew. Welcome to the program. A drought has been going on in California, the state of California, and you might have heard about it. You might have seen it on TV a few times and never thought much about it, and some of you don't know anything about it. And it's okay, because we're going to talk about this hour on the program. And we might be one of the only ones on the East Coast. At least, that's what I know of. Many are not talking about it. And they don't have the right to talk about it. We're going to, though. And I'm glad we are. Because you have many Californians who are suffering agricultural dying and money being owed and being lost because of it. To give us more of an understanding on the California drought that's been going on for about a month and a half, he is United States agricultural meteorologist. He is also part of the Office of Chief Economist and World Agricultural Outlook Board, a United States Drought Monitor author, which began production in 1999. On my phone line, Brad Rippey. Brad, welcome to the O'Andrew News Talk Show. Thanks for being with us at this time.
Thanks, Andrew. Glad to be with you.
Brad, I want to begin with this first question. Many of my audience members know there's been a drought in the state of California. Many might be listening from the state, while others don't know much information about it. When did this drought begin, and what do we know about it so far?
Well, this drought began in 2011-12 with an asterisk. And why do I say that? It's because California is such a managed water state that you can go a year with subpar rainfall and snowfall and not realize anything's going on out of the ordinary. But then after the second year and now a third year drier than the other two, this has kind of come to the forefront that, wow, we've got 3 years in a row that we've had subpar precipitation in California. We really do have a drought. There is a problem brewing.
How do we know there's a drought in California? What are some of the signs that shows you, okay, there's a drought, we now have a very large problem?
Well, the most obvious is the fact that the reservoirs are starting to be drawn down. Now, the reason, you know, the first year of that drought, 2011-12, reservoirs in the spring of 2012 were still brimming. And in fact, they didn't drop below historical average levels until early 2013. But there's been a steady drawdown of reservoir levels. And now, as we speak here, halfway through 2014, California's reservoirs are suddenly less than two-thirds full. So that's the most obvious impact of drought. Unless you actually head out into the Central Valley, where a lot of the agriculture is, there you will see much more obvious signs of drought. The fact that the rangeland and the pastures are brown, crispy, and in very bad shape. Three-quarters of California's range and pasture lands are rated in very poor to poor condition by USDA for the most recent week. And there's no hope for any rainfall in California in the summertime. We're looking all the way to November or beyond before we're going to get any potential relief.
This has to be such a hard issue to go about, because we're speaking about weather, we are speaking about something natural, something that comes and goes. It's not like we can create a law or create a group of people and make everything better. It has to be so hard to sit down and, okay, while we wait for some more wet weather to come in our area, it has to be really hard to really figure out what could we do. And especially as we see the past several years, it's just getting worse and worse and worse, Brad.
Yeah, California certainly needs to learn from historical lessons. We're in a three-year drought. Back in the late 80s and early 90s, we went 6 to 7 consecutive years with subpar precipitation, starting with the 86-87 season. None of them as dry as the last three, but it was kind of a warning that we really can start stringing dry years together. Back in the 30s, when California's population was a fraction, only between 5 and 6 million people, we did also, along with the Dust Bowl, string together about a decade worth of dry years. So it has happened. It can happen. Tree ring records show we can have decadal or longer droughts in California. So it's something that the officials have to be aware of, especially now that the population in California is pushing 40 million.
Right now we are speaking with Brad Rippey. He's on my phone line, a United States Drought Monitor author, which began production in 1999. He's also a United States agricultural meteorologist, speaking about the drought currently going on in the state of California. I think what we're doing right now is definite progress, and I always say this on my program, by informing a group of people and giving on education and information and not trying to block it from anyone, we're able to make progress on a particular issue, especially this one, this drought in California. Is there, I mean, what you're saying is there is a problem and we can't ignore it. Is there any way, Brad, on the information you had, is there something we could do as Americans to, in the future, to curb this dry weather down?
You can't change the weather. It's going to be what it's going to be. Of course, you know, the patterns get established in a drought pattern. You can't change that. I think what the effort has to be on the ground in the sense of conservation of water, from an agricultural perspective, maybe more efficient irrigation systems, for example. Or in this year of drought, California's third year of drought, we're seeing a lot of fields lying fallow simply because the water allocations, the water reserves, are not able to sustain the normal amount of agriculture.
You have told us a little bit earlier that we are starting to see historical lows when it comes to this drought. And now that we see weather is dramatically changing, do you think you have some information how weather has changed throughout history? Because that's got to be interesting. Even though we can't control weather, we see weather dramatically changing, and that's now becoming a problem because we can't control the weather. We can't really know what's going to happen in the next 10, 15 years, but when history is changing and the weather is changing also, how do we keep up with all these historical changes?
One of the most, looking at California and weather prediction, one of the most, let's just say the most predictable things is this thing that we call El Nino and La Nina. El Ninos historically bring wet weather to California. The last time we had El Nino was 2009-10. That was 5 years ago. And that's part of the reason that California is in the predicament that it's in. We do look like we have an El Nino on the horizon. So maybe looking ahead several months, I mean, again, we're talking November, December, and beyond, there is some hope for improvement. Some of that is predicated on how strong this El Nino that's on the way becomes. If we have a significant El Nino, a very strong event, drought relief is more likely. So we may be able to knock a hole in this drought. If we end up with a weak or moderate event, we can't say that with as much certainty. We may be looking at some relief, but not enough to really break the backbone of this fairly historic drought. I mean, we're looking at finishing up probably the third driest year on record. California, the year runs July 1st to June 30th, so we just finished up. Looks like we may have had the third driest year on record in California, and so it's going to take a lot of rain and mountain snow to punch a hole in this drought after 3 years.
Right now, we are speaking with Brad Rippey. He is a United States Drought Monitor author, which began production in 1999, also United States Agricultural Meteorologist. Brad, around the end of May, you had an interview with 247WallStreet.com about six other states that are in some type of drought. Do you think you can give my audience some information on other droughts that are going on around the country?
Right. We're kind of looking at a continuous drought area in the U.S. stretching from Oregon and California east, southeastward into the central and southern Great Plains. That encompasses a pretty good chunk of real estate, about one-third of the country. Now, some of the comments that I made earlier with 24/7 Wall Street were based on reservoir levels. We already talked about that for California, running a little below two-thirds of the historic average for this time of year. Other states in the West that are critically low on water storage right now include Arizona, Nevada, where storage is only about one-third of average, New Mexico, about one-half of average. Also in that pool of states is Oregon. And then, so that kind of covers five western states. Then the drought also extends out to the Great Plains. Texas has had year after year of trouble going back to the fall of 2010. And that drought certainly extends up through Oklahoma and also catches parts of neighboring states, such as Kansas and southeastern Colorado. So loosely speaking, we have seven or eight states that are really being still impacted by drought. California appears to be the epicenter of drought right now, but we still have, even though we've had some spring rains, we still have some drought issues even across Texas and states across the Great Plains.
We here on the program, we base out of New York, and we really wish we can take some of this rain and just give it to these states who really need it. I know 4th of July weekend's coming up, and they're already saying a huge storm is coming on Friday for us. And now we have that tropical storm Arthur coming up the East Coast. We don't know what direction that's going to go into. So we really wish we can give, I mean, I'm not saying I want to give them heather that's going to create damage, but hopefully we can give them some of this rain that they truly need. Many of the states you mentioned, Brad, are mostly on the West Coast, mostly dry states. Is that the reason why they're more prone to getting these droughts, because they tend to be more drier states, drier areas?
Yeah. Certainly the 11 western states, really from the Rocky Mountains westward, are somewhat prone to drought. But the problem with California is the seasonality of the precipitation. You kind of get one shot at it. In an eastern state like New York or a midwestern state like, say, Indiana, Illinois, there's much more of a smooth pattern to the rainfall and snowfall. You get some moisture every month of the year. So if you miss out on summer rains, you might get them in the fall and make up the difference. California, you get one shot. It roughly lasts November to April. And if you miss out there, you don't have a hope. There's nothing really worth even measuring falls in California in May on through the summer months and into October. So they missed out 3 years in a row. And, yeah, I know what you mean. It'd be nice to share because we've had a lot of rain east of the Rockies the last 2 months. But the West really has not caught a break. And seasonally speaking, that's exactly what you expect in California in, say, May and June. There is a little hope for the Southwest. We have a monsoon season that typically affects the four corner states. So once we get into July, August, and early September, maybe we'll get some drought relief there. That could help Arizona, New Mexico, Southeast Colorado. But for California, we are locked into drought until the fall at the earliest.
And when I go on to drought to the United States Drought Monitor, I see how California, the state, is all red. And we see very high percentages of drought detection. And we really hope in the next few months, when I keep following this story here on the program and off the air, to see some progress. And hopefully the weather, Mother Nature, could change her tune, get into a better mood. We are speaking with Brad Rippey, United States Drought Monitor author, which began production in 1999, also United States agricultural meteorologist. Brad, where can my audience contact you? They live in the California area, or they just want to know more information about a possible drought in their area.
Well, there is a state climatologist, Mike Anderson, that covers California. You could look up his office. Another good source of information is the California Department of Water Resources has good California drought information, reservoir levels in season. You can look up snowpack numbers. And certainly, you know, from our office's perspective, we are covering all U.S. agricultural weather. Our main publication, Weekly Weather and Crop Bulletin, you can look that up. And, of course, you can find a lot of contact information at the bottom of the U.S. Drought Monitor page. If you Google that, you can find contact information for me and the other 10 authors.
Brad Rippey, United States Drought Monitor author, which began production in 1999, United States agricultural meteorologist. Brad, thanks for stopping by and coming on the program. And we hope you keep giving out great information on this and to see a lot of progress in the next few months. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Maybe we'll get some rain next fall in California.
Yeah, maybe. Have a good one, okay?
All right. Thanks.
So when I come back to the program, do you live in one of the seven states that's been in some type of drought, running out of water? 855-712-9687-855-712-YNTS.
It is the end of the month. Open phone lines will now begin.
I tried everything. The weight pills, the gym subscriptions, monthly weight programs. Nothing worked for me and my body. Then a friend came up to me with a DVD. She said it's Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program, an indoor walk at home program used in thousands of homes for over 25 years. The only thing I needed was a DVD player and a pair of walking shoes. So I put in the DVD and began walking. It was amazing how easy it was, and I had control over the workout. After doing her simple mile or 2 mile workout 3 times a week for just 30 minutes a day, I saw the weight being lost for the first time. And now I feel great because I walked away the pounds with Leslie. You can purchase many easy walking workouts by visiting walkathome.com or call toll free at 888-890-8805. That's 888-890-8805. Be a part of the walking movement by following Leslie on Twitter at Leslie Walks or facebook.com/Leslie Sansone. Do what I did.
Sticking
walk
with
away
a
the pounds
trend
with Leslie
can
Sansone's
be very hard.
Home program.
Sticking with a trend can be very hard, especially for your feet. You wear those Converse for all those years, and before you know it, your feet is bigger than the shoe itself. How about take care of your feet and get expert advice with our friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz, who owns a podiatry practice right here in the Brooklyn and Staten Island area. He treats foot and ankle deformities, sports and walking problems, diabetic feet, injuries and wounds, and many more. Don't be left behind. I want you to go and stop by my friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz if you're ever in the area, or give him a call at his Brooklyn location, 718-627-1212, or his Staten Island location, 718-720-4848. Don't wait. Your feet needs the care, and why not do it right now? And if you go right now, they might thank you for it.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have, all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Tweeting is not a new trend. How about Tweet Yo Andrew on the air and off the air at Andrew Tweet Geo. Always on the run? We know how you feel. Listen to Yo Andrew on your iPhone, iPad, Android, or Android tablets. Go to www.yoandrewnts.com for more info. Call Yo Andrew now at 855-712-YNTS, 855-712-9687.
Did you hear that they're making a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger movie? They're bringing the Mighty Morphin back. It was the first Power Ranger season that came into the United States, and they're making a movie for it. I don't know why. I'm the type of nostalgia 90s child who, believe me, I love the television and the clothing and the candy and the TV shows and the cartoons and the movies. But see what I just said? I like the 90s cartoons. I don't like remakes. I don't like covers. I don't like sequels. I don't like a brand new costume. No, I don't want it. Okay, I don't need it, I don't want it. Please. But no, they just keep making it because that's what they feel, that's what we want. And then those, like myself, who enjoy the 90s, we get screamed at. It's because what is what you wanted. I never wanted Girl Meets World. I got it. It's an alright show. Is it going to last? Might not. Depends. I digress. We thank Brad Rippey for coming on the program and speaking with us about the drought that we saw in California. Brad, really nice guy. He did have an interview, though, at 247wallstreet.com about seven states running out of water. The United States is currently engulfed in one of the worst droughts in recent memory. More than 30% of the country experienced at least moderate drought as of last week's data, and that was all the way back at the end of May. Seven states' drought conditions were so severe that each had more than half of its land area in severe drought. Severe drought is characterized by crop loss, frequent water shortages, and mandatory water use restrictions. Based on data from U.S. Drought Monitor, 24/7 Wall Street reviewed the states with the highest level of severe drought. That's a problem. And not enough of us is talking about it. I do go on to welcome to the National Drought Mitigation Center. And it's a great website. You should definitely go to it, drought.unl.edu. And you'll be able to learn about drought, learn about how a drought system is developed, how severe a drought by you might be, and even a map of current droughts and drought impacts throughout the country. And I want to go through this with you. I think it's great, and we should visit time to time. Again, my phone number is 855-712-YNTS if you want to call in and speak about the drought that's going on. So if you go to drought.unl.edu, you'll see that we got current U.S. drought monitor. And when we look at this map, and I actually like this map a lot, because what this map shows is parts of the country that are dry and that are being affected with a drought of some sort, well, the country isn't. Now, we're based off of New York. And when you look at New York, according to this picture, we have no drought. No short-term, no long-term. We are free. We're worrying about a hurricane and rain this week. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about no drought. Nope. We're going to have a very wet 4th of July weekend, apparently. Thank God I'm not doing anything anyway. I know. Don't feel bad for me. Believe me, it really isn't that exciting. If you move down to the East Coast, you're going to see, again, nothing. If you move more in, where are we over here? This is, because you got Florida up here, and if you move more around Tennessee, you have an abnormally dry, but again, that's one of the lowest, so it's not too severe. But then you see the West Coast. And by the way, if you're just joining us, we are speaking about the drought in California, and we're speaking about many other droughts that are going through the country. If you're being affected by these droughts, 855-712-YNTS is a toll-free number. You can tweet me at AndrewTweetGeo.
Always on the run?
No, we're not always on the run. Oh, my goodness. Sounds are playing in this studio like crazy tonight. I think we just lock everything up and put them on locks. Back to the map. And I'm going to take a picture of this map, and I'm going to post it on my Twitter page for you guys during the next commercial break. If you look at California, they're in an extreme drought, and even there are even parts where it's exceptional drought. That's how bad it's getting. The majority of the country is in extreme drought. And if you even move further into the west, you see a lot of moderate droughts. And some places, extreme droughts. I'm talking about Oregon, California, Texas, New Mexico, little parts of Arizona, Nevada, Louisiana. So it's getting very hot, and it's becoming a very big problem. It's amazing how we choose what we're interested in and what we're not. And we've had this conversation on this program many, many times. Come on. We have this conversation. Do I have to say it again? I don't think I have to. But I have to. Because many of us are being left behind. I understand that in your area there is no drought. You got enough rain and enough water to take a very, very luxurious shower. Believe me, I know. But let me tell you something. There's someone out there that doesn't have that same opportunity as you do because of the weather that's being given out. Remember, when your state has a disaster, has a severe weather predicament, and you want help, remember. Now, am I saying for California, make everyone suffer? if a hurricane or a tornado comes to a state by them or across the country? Not. Or maybe I am. I don't think California should put anyone on the pedestal at all. I just think when you're not being affected individually, you tend not to care. And it's an American thing. If you're not poor, you probably don't care about the poor. If you see a hurricane and your house is not in that hurricane, you probably don't care about that hurricane. There are many Americans who do. I shouldn't leave them out. I shouldn't. Many Americans, though, have that trend. They do that. If they're not being affected by it, they probably don't care. Nor they should have the right to care. I mean, if they want to, they could. If they don't, they don't. If you're not a smoker, do you care what cigarette companies do? If you don't like politics, do you care about politics? That's a good one. See, I think we're getting somewhere with this. If you don't like something, you're not interested in it, right? If you don't like baseball, you're not a fan of baseball, you don't have a favorite team, you don't care about baseball. Right? If you are not right now suffering under some type of drought or hurricane or tornado, you probably don't care about it. Or if I want to use nicer terms, not interested. And many news outlets in your area might not think it's newsworthy for their audience, because no one is being affected by it. Now, if you're interested in it, and it's going around the country on every station, it's probably called a scandal. Yeah, it's called scandal. You're interested in it, you want to know more and more about it. When Miley Cyrus went on stage and took her little foam finger and put it between her legs, well, you were interested in it. Everyone was watching a musical event that many are interested in, and you saw an incident, and you wanted to know more about the incident. So what did you do? You watched the incident more and more again. So you saw news come out and talk about it more. California drought, you probably don't care about the drought. You don't live next to California, so why do you care? Now, some of you probably thought what I just said was a little bit over the top, but I don't think it was. Because I think I made my point across clearly. And I'm not going to lie, I'm one of those people also. I don't follow baseball much no more. If you ask me how the New York Yankees doing, I cannot tell you. I have no clue. I have no idea who they're versing. I have no idea who their record is, who's injured. Yeah, I understand the game. I understand droughts. But I don't have an interest in it. So, California is in this drought. And should you start caring? You don't have to. As of right now, we have almost one quarter of the United States in some type of drought, according to drought.unl.edu. Brad Rippey. Brad, our guest, made it clearly that we aren't just taking this seriously. Even those in California aren't taking this seriously. Every year, there's some type of drought that is coming and going out of the state of California, and they don't seem to be learning what they could do to prevent it. Can't prevent weather, but you can at least be prepared. And hopefully you'll be able to be ready for a drought that'll come by in the near future. You know, it's simple enough. So what do we do now? How can we help? I don't know. You tell me. 855-712-YNTS. Where's the Red Cross of America, though? Where's FEMA? For our guest, for Brad Rippey, that would have been a great question. Does FEMA And does Red Cross of America have the obligation to go in there? It's a severe weather event. We see many people losing a lot of money because of agricultural and water in many places that are right now being diminished, right now being carefully used. What happens if they run out of water in certain places? Does the Red Cross of America have the obligation to go in there? Or is it their role to go in there? I think we learned from this conversation is you look at weather disasters, look at hurricanes, you look at tornadoes, and you look at droughts. We're just going to say those three. Okay? We have those three. A hurricane comes in, comes out. If a hurricane doesn't make too much damage, you're probably not going to hear about too much. You can fix it. If it creates a lot of damage, you can hear all about it. You want to help out. You want to be the first one. You want to be the man or the woman. Same goes for a tornado. California right now, according to the United States Drought Monitor, they're in an extreme drought. The extreme drought in the middle of California, and they're in an exceptional drought. They're in very dark colors and very bright red colors. So why aren't they getting the same than if a hurricane walked into California and did a extreme amount of damage? Where's Red Cross of America? Where's FEMA? Where's the president coming out? If the president wants to tell me that he can relate to every American, well, why don't you relate to California then? I'm not saying he should create laws, and I'm not saying he should ever own it, but hey, considering it's been a month and a half, at least he can mention it. Hey, I know about the situation, and we see the state of California is working very well on the situation, and we hope that they can get through it, and we can learn our lessons from it. That sounds like a pretty good statement to me. That sounds pretty good. Guess not. Sound Clip of Wisdom is going to be up next, and we're going to go back into time. We're going to 1962, and I'm shocked we never played this before, but we're going to play it for you, and it's a Sound Clip of Wisdom by John F. Kennedy, by JFK. We don't want you to miss out on it, and there's no reason that you should. Don't be left behind. Sound Clip of Wisdom up next.
Tried everything. The weight pills, the gym subscriptions, monthly weight programs. Nothing worked for me and my body. Then a friend came up to me with a DVD. She said it's Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program, an indoor walk at home program used in thousands of homes for over 25 years. The only thing I needed was a DVD player and a pair of walking shoes. So I put in the DVD and began walking. It was amazing how easy it was, and I had control over the workout. After doing her simple mile or 2 mile workout 3 times a week for just 30 minutes a day, I saw the weight being lost for the first time. And now I feel great because I walked away the pounds with Leslie. You can purchase many easy walking workouts by visiting walkathome.com or call toll free at 888-890-8805. That's 888-890-8805. Be a part of the walking movement by following Leslie on Twitter at Leslie Walks or Facebook.com/Leslie Sansone. Do what I did. Walk away the pounds with Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program.
This is the sound of a flat screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet yoandrew at andrewtweetgeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Many ask, where is a cure? Sadly, it's not easy. Endometriosis is a non-fatal cancer-like disease affecting 176 million women around the world that need your help. That's why Knockout Endo, an organization seeking nonprofit status, is continuing to fundraise and raise awareness for women with endometriosis. Check out our website, www.knockoutendo.com, to learn what we're doing to defeat this disease every day. Being informed will help you understand why donating is so important. You can help by purchasing items from our website or funding more commercials like these. Don't sit down, but get up to knock out endometriosis.
I'd like to thank the guy who wrote the song that made my baby fall in love with me. Who put the bump in the bump, bump, bump? Who put the rhyme in the rhyme, a rhyme, a ding, dong? Who put the bop in the bop, she bop, she bop?
One thing I can never do is go to, what do you even call them? I don't know what to even call them. You go in there and you get yourself an ice cream soda, and like everyone's in there, put music. I don't even call those. So he tells you how young I am. I'm too young. Me, what? I go into a diner and then there's like five waitresses. But this was more of a, it was more of a joint. I don't know. I'm too young. I don't say that many times. Sound Clip of Wisdom is here. And for some of you who don't know the Sound Clip of Wisdom, it's a sound clip we play to end off the program. It's a message we like to give out to our audience. They can take it with them. It's now even more of a segment that you could, a conversation that you could take off there. Speak about with your mom, dad, brother, stepsister, dog, whoever is close to you. And again, you can have the conversation with me also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and so much more. The Sound Clip of Wisdom tonight is going to be John F. Kennedy's inspirational speech, "We Choose to Go to the Moon," and it was conducted to Rice University September 12th, 1962. Now, it's a 17-minute speech, but we decided to take the most important piece of his speech, and it's only going to be about 3 minutes. And we hope you enjoy it, and we'll have a conversation about it right after, and we hope you can have a conversation about it too. Here it is, John F. Kennedy, 1962. The Sound Clip of Wisdom is called "We Choose to Go to the Moon."
In short, our leadership in science and industry, our hopes for peace and security, our obligations to ourselves as well as others, all require us to make this effort to solve these mysteries, to solve them for the good of all men, and to become the world's leading spacefaring nation. We set sail on this new sea because there is new knowledge to be gained and new rights to be won, and they must be won and used for the progress of all people. For space science, like nuclear science and all technology, has no conscience of its own. Whether it will become a force for good or ill depends on man. And only if the United States occupies a position of preeminence can we help decide whether this new ocean will be a sea of peace or a new terrifying theater of war. I do not say that we should or will go unprotected against the hostile misuse of space any more than we go unprotected against the hostile use of land or sea. But I do say that space can be explored and mastered without feeding the fires of war, without repeating the mistakes that man has made in extending his writ around this globe of ours. There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space as yet. Its hazards are hostile to us all. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind. And its opportunity for peaceful cooperation may never come again. But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
So you're wondering, where is our space program now? Well, we sold our space seats to the Russians, and we saw China launch their first satellite. No, sorry. They went to the moon a few years back. And what are we doing now? Yeah. We're still discovering planets. We got satellites and... But we haven't been to the moon. 1 second, we all can't wait to go on the moon, and now... We can't, we can't wait not to go back. John F. Kennedy, if he was alive today, I would love to know what he would have said about the current administration and how we treated our space program the past, if you think about it, 25 years, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Obama, they all killed it. NASA, there has been cuts in NASA since the mid-80s. The 60s and 70s, we put money, we were at a Cold War with the Russians, the Soviet Union, and we wanted to be the number one leader, and that's what John F. Kennedy said, and that's what we did. He sadly never saw us go to the moon in 69, but we sure did. We saw millions of shows reinterpret it. Now, it's not even a conversation. We're too busy fighting with ourselves. Wasting our time. Why can't we go on the moon? Why can't we go? It's not the question of why do we choose the moon anymore. Now it's the question of why can't we go? Well, Andrew, the economy's poor. Well, back in 2004 it wasn't. 2005 it wasn't. What's a better way to show our opposers, show radical Islamic groups, show terrorists that you can come into our country and you could attack us, you can talk about us, send us videos, but we still can go to the moon? I think that would be great. us going to the moon or going to another planet or being able to create a mission that we haven't seen since 69, I think that will really show our enemies that the United States of America is still the number one leader in space and the powerhouse and leader in the world. Why can't we do that? Why can't we? And I'm not saying it in a way where, why can't we, you know, why can't we fly? I mean, you can't fly because our bodies aren't able to do that. I'm saying, why can't we, and we should be doing it. I'm being sarcastic. Why can't we? We could. We can. We should. We will. Probably not. I know 2016 is coming around the corner, and probably this is not going to be a conversation. It's not going to be a number one issue. It's not going to be a time period where the whole country is going to come together and scream and yell with big posters, let's go to the moon today. I can see why that's not a bad idea. If we can do something in space no one's done before, people will put money into it, and that could boost our economy. I'm not saying it's going to save us, but it will boost our economy, especially with the technology we have today. Imagine. We got Twitter, Facebook, tablets, all this technology that we keep repeating on this show. Imagine placing that. Back in 69, it was just a black and white TV, and you only had one. If you were lucky, two. Because the first one broke. Now, you have three televisions. You got more monitors than televisions. So many resources. Old media, new media. John F. Kennedy would be proud. I sure would be proud. We go to the moon because it's hard. And that's what makes us great. That's what used to make us great. We used to do things as a country because it was hard. But we succeeded, right? Now we do things because it's political correctness. We do things to make the other opposer happy. We do things because we think it's the right thing to do, but not the smart thing to do. We do things without even thinking. We say things that we shouldn't say. We forget about things that are important to us. Why can't we? Why can't we sit down at a table in a backyard, besides watching our kids at the pool? And many parents do not. We should be speaking about space travel. And I think we should start speaking about it with, of course, our younger children. And that always comes up in the conversation on this program. When it comes to food. Or when it comes to banning of particular words. Remember, as a young child back in the 50s and 60s, you wanted to be an astronaut. You wanted to go on the moon. Why don't we see more of that today? I think it's a great start. Now, I personally have no interest in going to the moon. I've had friends who wanted to be an astronaut. I don't know if they succeeded or not. If they have, congratulations. If not, hopefully you found another interest to go by. Why don't we see that? The same way, why we don't see many who want to be baseball players anymore. Everyone wants to do things that's easy. Think about it. And when you say, I'm going into a field because it makes a lot of money. No, you go into a field because it's easy. And everyone's thinking the same way. Go to something that's hard. Go to something that's challenging. And of course, lastly, go to something that you're interested in. You do great things for the country that way, and you do great things for yourself. And I think that's what John F. Kennedy wanted anyone to do. I think he wanted you to do what you wanted to do, and he knew what the United States wanted to do, and that's go on the moon. We are still competing against countries. We didn't just go to the moon in the 60s because we were competing. Who says we're not competing today? We have countries building weapons. We got countries creating new inventions. Inventions that will change our way of living, our way of communicating, our way of spreading, and our way of sharing information. What makes the United States not a competitor, if you want to go into that route? We need to sit down, and we need to get our priorities straight. We need a makeover, a very huge one. We need to sit down and figure out what we have to do. And believe me, I know the first thing we have to do is create term limits on Congress because they abuse their rights. We need to educate ourselves on the Constitution and our individual rights. We need to create a balanced budget. We need to properly cut spending and properly raise spending in certain places so we can innovate and we could boost up the economy. Believe me, I know. But again, space should be on our list also. I want to thank our guests tonight. They've been great, and we hope they can be with us in the future. I want to thank Brad. I want to thank Brad and Philip Salas. Oh, my goodness. Brad Hippy and Philip Salas, thank you very much for coming on. Brad was a meteorologist who came on the program, and we saw Professor Salas. He was the professor, assistant teaching professor at Drexel. And we want to thank my mom, my dad, my brother. I love you. Thank you. Want to thank my old crew, my affiliates, my audience. Next Tuesday, I'll be back. I'll be a lot cleaner. Don't be left behind.
Yo Andrew week. News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
I tried everything. The weight pills, the gym subscriptions, monthly weight programs. Nothing worked for me and my body. Then a friend came up to me with a DVD. She said it's Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program, an indoor walk at home program used in thousands of homes for over 25 years. The only thing I needed was a DVD player and a pair of walking shoes. So I put in the DVD and began walking. It was amazing how easy it was, and I had control over the workout. After doing her simple mile or 2 mile workout 3 times a week for just 30 minutes a day, I saw the weight being lost for the first time. And now I feel great because I walked away the pounds with Leslie. You can purchase many easy walking workouts by visiting walkathome.com or call toll free at 888-890-8805. That's 888-890-8805. Be a part of the walking movement by following Leslie on Twitter at Leslie Walks or facebook.com/Leslie Sansone. Do what I did. Walk away the pounds with Leslie Sansone's Walk at Home program.
Sticking with a trend can be very hard, especially for your feet. You wear those Converse for all those years, and before you know it, your feet is bigger than the shoe itself. How about take care of your feet and get expert advice with our friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz, who owns a podiatry practice right here in the Brooklyn and Staten Island area. He treats foot and ankle deformities, sports and walking problems, diabetic feet, injuries and wounds, and many more. Don't be left behind. I want you to go and stop by my friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz if you're ever in the area, or give him a call at his Brooklyn location, 718-627-1212, or his Staten Island location, 718-720-4848. Don't wait. Your feet needs the care, and why not do it right now? And if you go right now, they might thank you for it.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.